So what we're going to be practicing today is cultivation of loving awareness. And it is kind of the marriage of mindfulness or awareness practice and metta, so cultivating a state of kind regard for others, for oneself, and in this case, for whatever it is that's arising in experience. So I think a good place to start with that might be with explaining a little bit about metta and about sort of how this approach came about. So for those who are unfamiliar, metta is a particular specific practice that we do in this tradition, and it's among kind of meditative technologies that is designed to bring forth, or I like to say uncover, the state of well-wishing, kind regard, friendliness, or love. And I say uncover because there's a way of thinking about it where you could consider maybe if I was not blocked by temporary states of dislike or fear or anger, then when you uncover that, when you sweep that stuff away, actually what's there is more of a wholesome thing, like a positive state. So when people are more relaxed and happy, when they don't feel under siege, then usually they tend to show up with a sense of more positive regard for each other, with a sense of connection, with a sense of kindness. So this kind of people at their best. And I've had the chance to teach meditation retreats now for about 10 years, and I see this over and over where, you know, people might come into retreats in the beginning and they're like worried about stuff and their problems are assailing them. And then, you know, as the retreat goes on and we practice together in a container of following training precepts together and basically not bothering each other, so the only one who's bothering you is you for that period of time, your own mind. People tend to be able to get more sort of relaxed and open and more sensitive and aware, and actually start to uncover this natural sense of goodness, of well-being that's there. So there's certain kinds of practices you can do to intentionally cultivate that. But also, in some ways, it's an attitude that can be connected to our practice of awareness. And for me, I did the Vipassana practice for maybe 10 or 15 years. And then in that period of time, oftentimes on retreats, there'd be like one period of metta meditation. Or sometimes in the beginning, it was like at the very end of the retreat, there would be a metta meditation after 10 days, you know, like a little bit like wishing well for people before you leave or something. And then at a certain point, my interest turned to specifically cultivating this practice of metta. So I started doing that as an intensive practice in retreat and outside of retreat and wishing well for people. And I found it very powerful. But I remember as I was doing it, there was a way in which not necessarily the technique that was being used, but the result felt like, oh, these feel like two sides of the same coin in some ways. Because if you're really paying attention to someone, then with a sense of openness, then there is a sense of positive regard that's there. And then also that which you have a sense of kindness or regard towards, it's easier to pay attention to. So in a very conventional, mundane way, we can say that, for example, people who are our dear friends or who we love a lot, we tend to pay attention to them more. You know, when they're talking, we'll listen more, or we will care what's happening to them, and so on. And then it's actually possible to go about it the other way. Like, if you can train your attention, train yourself to pay attention in that way, then usually we tend to find that subject more interesting and actually sort of bring the other side around too. So there's a connection between these two. So I think the first thing that is helpful is for us to allow ourselves to remember or to connect with any experience that we might have had, even of being the subject of some kind of loving awareness from someone. And sometimes loving awareness seems too grandiose. Sometimes it's even just kind attention or even just like a sort of pure attention, like a real, like caring attention, anything like that. So this is also sometimes where we start in metta practice. We start where it's easiest. So I'd like you to see if you can remember anybody in your life at any point, and it could have been a teacher or a grandparent or a good friend or ideally a parent, but you know, parents do their best, but maybe not imperfect jobs. Sometimes even a good friend, or some people say the best one that to consider is their dog, who seems to regard them in this way, with a sense of just real like kindness, love, appreciation. And with metta, the sense of metta is unconditional regard. So it means like, well, it doesn't actually matter what you do, I will still continue to hold you with love in my heart. I'll still continue to care about you, basically. It doesn't mean I'll actually condone everything that you do, but overall, like, I won't kick you out of my heart, essentially, right? So maybe you can close your eyes and you can see if you can remember, bring to mind, and it doesn't have to be that that person was perfect at it, but there's any time in your life that someone seemed to regard you with a sense of this kind of regard. It could be a teacher or a mentor. It could be even someone that you had a brief encounter with even recently. You know, even if recently you had someone who seemed to have a sense of kindness towards you. And if you can, you can allow yourself to remember that encounter, remember that person, remember what that was like. So you could bring your attention to your heart and allow yourself to feel the warmth of that, or notice what this is like. And if you have more than one person who that came to mind, you could even imagine them in a circle around you. So imagine yourself being the center of a circle of kind regard in this way. And you can allow yourself to notice what it feels like to receive this kind regard, what that's like in your heart. You could even notice how your body feels as you are remembering this. So in the beginning here, we're just trying to kind of put some kindling in the fire for this sense of loving awareness. So I'm fortunate that I have a lot of examples in my life of this, or I feel like through also doing the metta practice for many years, it's kind of been like a magnet to pull those experiences out, to remember them, connect with them, and allow those to grow. But the one that came to mind for me was actually just coming here. My flight was delayed from SFO, and I was like making it like just on time for the flight, which is not recommended practice. But and then I got there, and then it turned out the flight was delayed by an hour. And it seemed like most other people knew this, because there weren't that many people in the gate area. Like maybe they'd gotten a text that I didn't sign up for or something. So anyway, I was like a little confused about what was happening. So I went and talked to the gate agent, and they explained like the flight was late coming from Las Vegas, so it was going to be delayed by an hour. So then I went and sat down, and then I had another question about like what that meant for the arrival time. So I went back and asked them that, and then I had another question. So anyway, but the person at the gate from Virgin America was actually just very kind. Like, and the third time they were kind of kidding, and they were like, "Oh, it's you again," you know. But they were very friendly about saying that. Like, they weren't actually like "you again," you know. And it made all the difference. Like, you know, this was like not an ideal situation, but I realized like, oh, they're like good humor and positive regard for me each time I come up and ask a question. Like their patience, you know, their just general sense of kindness was actually very moving and helpful to me, and really changed my experience of that, this occurrence of a late airline, which is certainly not the most calamitous thing, but it can be a more negative experience. So it's like, yeah, that person's attitude in that moment for that day really had a positive impact on my life, like how much we can impact each other in this way. And then that person left, and then someone else came for the boarding, and then I had to do something with like shifting the boarding passes or something, and then that person also was very kind. Like, I think they had called my name and I didn't hear it, so then later I went up and was like, oh, did you call my name? And they were super nice about it. They weren't like, yeah, we did call your name. You know, like, where were you? Like, you. So just all of that was very helpful. And it made me realize also that I think my experience in the world, particularly as a person of color, is like not always that people are generally friendly to me, or as a queer person, or, you know, it's not like assumed that everyone is going to love me, even in these little interactions. But it was just such a sense of like relief, and it was so nice to have people just be nice, you know, in sort of basic administrative things. So it reminded me of the power of that, and it actually didn't cost them anything else to be, you know, it didn't cost them more to be nicer to me, and I'm not being paid by Virgin to like say their stuff was nice either. But I have found that actually, I think in different, you know, airlines, different companies, depending also on how those people feel like they're being treated by the company, that attitude like comes through. So I think in some of the other airlines, like there's some sense of bitterness, or, you know, feeling embattled with the corporation or something. And I feel like it totally comes through in the way that then they deal with the customers, of like, it's like a giant hassle to get you a glass of water or something. You know, like it's like a big hassle for them to have to like do their job. There's a lot of like resentment that oozes out. So anyway, it's a very small thing. Like, you know, they didn't like do something huge for me, but these little moments of kind regard are so important. You know, and in some ways, like, we usually don't spend all of our time with the person who is our most beloved or our family members. Most of our days are made up of these small encounters with different people, you know, that we don't know, especially living in a city or traveling around, or for many of us in our work, you know. So it can be quite transformative for ourselves and for others when we have a different attitude. And I could see also for these people, like, they were kind of having fun in their job too, you know, even though the flight was delayed, like, they had a sense of, they both were kind of compassionate about it, so they weren't like, oh, it's not a big deal, why are you asking questions, but they seemed to be sort of enjoying their job in some way, like what they had to do. So it was both nicer for me as the person who had to encounter them, and also It seemed like it was nicer for them to actually be able to have some kind of more positive attitude about answering questions or being in a situation where people might be angry or something like that. I was more confused than angry, actually. Like, why is there nobody here? You know? So anyway, I don't know if someone has a brief story about their experience of positive regard that they want to share. I'd be happy to hear that as we start our day. About what your experience was or how that impacted you. Yeah.
I talked a little bit about not always feeling like I deserve that when I, you know, like loving to offer it to people, but sometimes just being like, oh, yeah. Like, you know, feeling a little squirmish about it.
Yeah. So noticing that, even the taking of in of it, or allowing that, yeah. Yeah, in the suttas about the quality of metta, sometimes the thing that is given as an example is like, they say like, as a mother regards and would protect with their life, their child, their only child. And sometimes I don't like that example because then people who are not mothers feel like, oh, I don't have that experience, or I can't do that or something, which I think is totally not true. But in some ways, sometimes the regard that we have for children in our life mirrors that, or for those who we feel like we need to protect or want to, who care about. But I think also like it's some attitude that we seek out in the world. Like, we want people to regard us positively, you know? Like, we want people to regard us with kindness. And I think also sometimes there's a yearning in us to be able to give that forth, which I think for many people who have some calling to be parents, for example, there often is a sense of like, oh, I have this to offer to someone. Like, there's some like yearning to be able to offer that in some way. To another being, or even the search for like love or relationship, or in some ways I think the entire like online dating field is like a giant field of people like searching that, you know, looking for some positive regard through many profiles and connections and things like that, you know. So it's good to acknowledge that, like, if we notice that we have that yearning, and then part of the revolutionary part, I think, of this practice of the training of the heart and mind is to recognize, like, we can access that ourselves in some ways. And then the other thing that you're saying is, like, to allow yourself to feel that, right? To feel like, oh, I deserve that or whatever. So the idea that, like, I don't deserve that is a delusion, right? So that's kind of like an overlay that we've created a story about. And sometimes it helps to consider, like, do we feel that anyone else deserves that too? Because if we don't, then there's kind of a funny way in which this particular form of delusion has created an idea that we are both unworthy, but in other ways, we're more special than everyone else because we're unworthy. You know, like, we're unworthy, but then, like, I can't remember who said this quote, but I've heard this quote that it's sort of like, I'm the little piece of shit that the whole world revolves around. You know, it's like, it's like I'm both like not that important, but also I'm really important in my unimportance or something. You know, so not to make light of the pain of that pattern when it shows up, but it's just it's good to have a little bit of a sense of humor about that because it's like complete hooey. Yeah. Anyone else wish to share? Yeah.
Actually, I felt very sad.
Yeah, yeah. And can you say something about those moments? Like anything that you remember about those moments, either what it was like or what was happening there? Yeah. And it's minus like some suffering or contraction or struggle in those moments too, right? So sometimes in Dharma or in Buddhism, you know, when you hear things like awakening or enlightenment, like it sounds very big and grandiose, but it's good, I think, to connect it with these experiences that we've had, where it's like, oh, it's possible to have a life in which there's not struggle. It's possible for there to be these moments in which there's a sense of spaciousness and love. And then like you're saying, like, oh, what if that was more, you know, what if it was not as disconnected? What if it was not as like tiny, discrete experiences? So the real trick to it too is that we're going to practice is that it's something that we can cultivate. It's possible for that to be there in different ways. And the happiness and well-being that is the possibility of the result of Dharma practice is actually the sense of well-being and contentment that's beyond changing circumstance, right? So it's not only when I happen to be with this person who happens to have this relationship with me. Because if it's only that, then of course also it's time limited. And for example, if that person passes away, then like you have lost it. You know, you had it and then you lost it. Or if it has to do with certain circumstances, like it being sunny or you feeling completely physically well or anything like that, then also you're out of luck because there's no way that the weather is going to stay like one way all the time for you. You know that better than anyone here, I think. Right? And also like even your physical health of your body is not reliable. So can we find this kind of contentment and well-being that's underneath of all that, that's beyond all that too? So that's the possibility from the practice. Yeah.
And, you know, that desire to have a mirror and that kind of tension.
Right, yeah, so notice even the patterning of the mind around this little exercise, because then we can see the ways in which there are patterns of mind which don't lead so much to happiness, right, that are like, oh, even though there's so much good here, it's like looking for the one that's a problem, right? It's glossing over that and then going right to what is absent in that way, yeah. That's a good strategy for unhappiness. So we'll try not to practice that one here. Yeah. So yeah, there's some quality also in this sense of regard that's about gratitude, I think, and that's about appreciation. And other examples for me that I can remember were like different relatives I have. So when I was growing up, I grew up in the East Coast in Baltimore. I was born in Baltimore and grew up there, but my extended family a lot are in Sri Lanka. So we'd only see them every 2 or 3 years, and I have like a huge family there. Like my dad's one of 8, my mom's one of 4. Everyone has been copiously multiplying, so like lots of cousins and aunts and uncles. And so then, you know, as a kid, I think I didn't appreciate that as much, but they really loved us a lot. And so when we'd go back, they'd be really interested in like, who is this kid now 2 years later, you know? And so they'd want to know, like, what are you up to? And what do you like to do? And like, look how tall you are, and let's try and feed you, and you know, all this kind of stuff. But it was this sense of them really being interested in, and not in a controlling way, but just like really pure sense of love and attention, you know, like wanting to be able to see you because they know that I might not see you for another few years, too. And I remember before we would leave, everyone would get together before we would go to the airport, and they'd say some prayers. My family was Catholic also, you know, and basically all these aunties and uncles would like bless us in whatever way they knew how, you know. And it was such a beautiful thing, you know, that to have that experience. And of course, as a child, I think I didn't appreciate it as much. I was like a little squirmy during that whole experience. But it was very lovely to be regarded like that and to remember that. And it's like, oh yeah, that's, even though we didn't see these people that often, and who knows, like maybe if I did see them more often, they would be less interested, you know. Now I understand that as someone who is an auntie also, like when I see the kids in my family who I don't see very often, like I'm totally interested in what they're up to, mostly beyond their capacity to be interested in telling me what they're up to, you know, especially the ones who are now in high school or something, you know. And yeah, I want to hang out with them. And the sense of positive regard, sort of unconditional love, for me, one example that happened recently is one of my nieces came to visit. She was doing some college visiting, and she hadn't brought rain shoes. Like, she had some, like many visitors to California, Northern California, think it's going to be, like, all warm and surfs up and stuff, and it's really not. So she asked me if she could borrow some shoes for the rain. And at first I thought, like, oh, you can't borrow shoes for the rain because, like, you're a little kid. And then I realized she's actually bigger than me now, so she actually could wear my shoes. So I gave her some boots that I have, and I was so happy that she could use them. And then she went on her trip down also to Southern California. And then she sent me a picture that the boots had broken, you know, along the way. And she felt really bad about it. And she had a picture of the boots and the sole separate from the thing. But I noticed that my sense of love for her was so much that I was like, you know, I'm actually happy that I had anything to give you. Even that, like, you could break my boots makes me happy. You're like, I wish I had more things to give you. I wish I had more time that I could spend with you, or could share our lives more. And I was like, oh yeah, this is really metta. You know, this sense of, like, not only am I happy, I'm even happy that you break things I give you. It's like beyond the call of, like, usual regard. So, and I can tell, like, most teenagers, I think she's a little squirmy about it. You know, it's like not necessarily like the most comfortable thing. Like, that's weird. Why are you happy that you? Yeah. But so it is, right? So, and you know, we can regard ourselves and others like this too. So I was like, oh, how do I regard myself when I break things? You know. Maybe with less love and kindness than I regarded her in that way. So I say these things just to kind of seed a little bit, like, well, what is this attitude that we could have towards our life, towards ourselves, towards everything? And what we're going to do the rest of the day is basically practice in some ways with the different foundations of mindfulness. So we'll first practice with, what's it like to have an attitude of loving awareness with the body, right? So we'll do that this morning. And then what's it like to have a loving awareness with the experience of emotion, with the experience of thought, with the experience of sound? So what's it like to regard all of the experiences of our sense doors with some sense of loving awareness? And it's kind of an experiment, so please take it in that way. Like, what would it be like to do this? And let's see if we can practice this together. And then hopefully, like, this can continue in some way, like in other things that you don't have a chance to do here. Like, what's it like to buy something with a loving awareness? What's it like to do laundry with loving awareness? You know? For those of you who were there last night, I had suggested you try to do some daily activity, right, with the sense of loving awareness at the end. So I try to take my own advice. So this morning I was staying with some friends, and I'm not very good at making beds and stuff, so I was like, all right, I should make the bed with loving awareness. Because I said particularly pick something that you don't usually like to do or you're lazy about doing. So I looked at the messed up bed, and I was actually very appreciative in that moment, because it was like a pull-out sofa, but it's actually very comfortable and cozy. So I had a sense of gratitude to the bed for giving me a good night's sleep. And then that allowed me to kind of like put the covers in some way. I don't think I did such a good job, but anyway, it was like, yeah, doing that with a sense of loving awareness is actually a beautiful way to live. You know, it changes your relationship to doing anything. And then my friends had gotten up, and one of them the night before had put a bunch of nuts into like tiny little Ziploc bags for me to take as snacks for today and line them up like cashew nuts and peanuts and almonds. And so this also was very sweet. You know, it was like such a simple thing, but I was like, oh, that's so thoughtful that she did that. I told them that someone else was going to bring me lunch, but like they wanted me to have little bags of nuts to bring. So I could see just regard, take that in with kindness. So it's like these little things that happen that usually we're just in a hurry and we don't take in or allow ourselves to feel. But even here at Sims, you know, it's such a beautiful environment here. You know, there's been so much care put into, you know, the design and then the construction of this place and like how nice it is. And yeah, everything. Someone filled the pitcher with water. Thank you. You know, box of tissues. And then from last night to tonight, someone like raised the platform here, right? So that they are here somewhere, I think. So I appreciate that because they saw me like bending down too much for the notes. So basically, like, we miss all these opportunities to take that in, to recognize the ways in which our lives are supported in this way of grace. So we're going to do an exercise now in which basically we just sit and breathe and pay attention to the fact that we're alive. And even in that, I would say, it's good to recognize there is some way in which our lives themselves are actually given to us in some grace, you know, through some grace, like, meaning, like, however old you are, that many years of your life, you have both had access to enough food and water to keep you alive, right, which is not true for all human beings on the planet, and you've had access to oxygen also. We have access to clothes. We're fortunate to live in a place where we're not immediately being like bombed. So all of this is actually like blessings of our life that we often don't necessarily consider. And then from the Dharma practice standpoint also, the example of like, oh, we've had the opportunity to encounter the teachings of the Buddha or meditation in some way or another, and then we have the health and well-being to recognize, yeah, maybe there's something here for us. And to have enough time to come and like check it out. So all this is considered like very good blessings of our life that we might not otherwise recognize. And in the Dharma, there's an aspect of recognizing what's true, you know, what is basically true about our lives. And among the things that are true is that we don't know how long we're going to live. You know, all human beings will pass away, will die. Eventually, and our lifespan can be shorter, it can be longer. So in this way also, you know, each moment that we have breath, that we have life, is also something that is yeah, sort of miraculous and a blessing too, while we're here. So the reflection about that is meant to help us to be more present in the life that we have, not to make you fearful or depressed about it. But just recognize the truth of that and thus to be more present and try to live with greater kindness and wisdom too.